peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 woo!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. This is episode number 135. So glad you're here. And on today's show, excited to be joined by an in-studio guest, formerly known as Sister Mary Chocina, and in honor of St. Joseph, which we're going to talk about. But I know her by a name that's very familiar and endearing to me. That's Mom. Welcome back to the show, Mom, Joan.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you for being here. We are going to talk about St. Joseph today. And I know that is a saint that you're very close to and studied your life quite a bit, a model for manhood. That's where we really want to go. How this just man of Scripture, who is so quiet, but the protector and has influenced men throughout the centuries, can inspire us today. What can he teach us today? And so that's what we're going to focus on. Also coming up on today's episode, we have a movie review. The brand new film, I Can Only Imagine, based on a true story. Is it worth seeing at the theater? Should you wait? We have someone who was able to go opening weekend, opening day, and will share her review. So a jam-packed show. Are you ready to jump in?
Most definitely.
It's Brooks. House. It's Brooks. House.
I'm going to give you a quick tour of what's happening in Brooke's house at the moment. So laundry is going in the laundry room, and I had to use extra shout because Gus got markers on his uniform pants. Garrett's missing a button, so he's using a safety pin to close his pants. I have to get a button sewn. And we also have reminders on the fridge like crazy because of so much going on in the next month. Grant's confirmation is coming up. We've got Easter, the Arise retreat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then we are leaving the week after for our pilgrimage to Italy. So plus, you know, the stuff that goes into that planning. What are we going to have for Easter brunch and lunch? And we have to do freezer meals. And then at the table, there is, I read it to you. I wanted to share a little bit of this article that I've highlighted. So that's at the table with my Magnificat and my Bible. And it's an article that I printed out. It's only about 6 pages long. Father Maximos Constas. He's a senior research scholar at Holy Cross Greek Orthodox. He's a Greek Orthodox priest. But it's so interesting. The name of the article is To Know Thyself, Attentiveness in Digital Culture. Not a new topic, something we've talked about a lot on the show, but it's because it's so needed and fascinating. So I did a couple highlights here. I thought it was interesting. I wanted to share this. One of the points he makes is that the disintegration of our inner life began with the fall. Distraction came with the fall, an original sin. And when humanity separated itself from God, he says, distraction has been called the original sin of the mind. So I don't know how or when, but I think that would be a compelling topic to unpack. He talks about a lot of interesting things, how it's more been studied from a cognitive level, what happens when you're distracted. He goes into it about what happens to our spirit when we're so distracted. So that's what's on the table. And then also what we did was happening in Brooke's house, a gathering to celebrate Dad and his birthday. Also the anniversary, really, I guess, the 7-year anniversary of when he was diagnosed with cancer, and a lot of ups and downs. It's bittersweet. Do you have anything to add about that?
Just Thanksgiving. I think every year the expectation that it's going to get easier. And I think in some day-to-day living, but there's also the reality, and it just, once that door opens, it just seems to come in a flooding sensation that you're not able to spiritually or emotionally keep your balance. And so when that happens, I just try to do the best I can, knowing that the next day things will be better. So
I want to share this with permission from my friend Linda Isaiah, and I think I told you, we get together, we try to get together periodically for lunch. But we were talking, and she was so blessed to go to a trip to Puerto Vallarta with Donna Dana Miller, one of our other Arise ladies. They met at the retreat last year. Little did they know then the way they would be companions on this journey. And she was saying, on this trip, now keep in mind her grief is still new, and so you know that certain triggers when you're at the grocery store, or especially for her at church, that was such a foundational day for them. And here she was, she said, at the pool, and she said, I don't like to go to the pool, but she did. And being there in her bathing suit, and she said her husband was always her covering. He was always there. And she just felt so exposed, you know, literally and figuratively, and just those things. Until they're absent, their presence is no longer there. You don't even realize. You don't know that you know or don't know.
You don't.
So, like you said, years, decades that may go by, there are always things I think we grieve for the rest of our life. And that's one of the beautiful things I think about our retreat that we're going to be working through is the healing process in every stage and age that we're at. But we also are celebrating your husband, my dad, fathers. So that's where I want to kind of segue into. I was thinking about how to launch this topic and reflecting on Hebrews 11, because that has sometimes been called the Hall of Faith, and talking about everyone from the heroes listed there, Enoch, Abraham, Noah, Moses, Joshua, Rahab, even to name a couple. But then I'm thinking that bronze bust that needs to be added and held up and with the spotlight is Saint Joseph. And a bit of an enigma, I think, at first glance because of the mystery. And this is an opportunity to think about the profound example of his witness and his faithfulness. So we want to try to dig down and unearth some of those Joseph gemstones. And so one of the things in researching this, I don't even know if you know this, Mom, one of the great admirers of St. Joseph was St. Teresa of Avila, and she wrote from her biography, it's called Go to Joseph. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's breathtaking. So that's one to Google. I can link it up in the show notes as well. But she says he healed her and this special friendship that she had because of his intercession. I know St. Joseph has been a friend to you. And in the beginning of the show, we talked about your name as you were in the convent and went through that process of selecting a name. So how did you choose to honor St. Joseph?
What I had forgotten, why there was such an attraction or such a God connection with him, is because I had forgotten until something took me into the records and I looked at my baptismal certificate and saw the date of March 19th. And so then it was like, oh, that's why. And it was because I was baptized on his feast day. I believe God immediately put us together in a way that he would be praying for me before I even knew about him.
And so did you always have this bond with him? I mean, when you then knew that you were going to take your name, you said, okay, I have to honor St. Joseph? Or did that come later?
Well, because of my mom, and she had a very strong devotion to Blessed Mother, it was just God gradually bringing St. Joseph into my life, into my prayer life, into a recognition. What has happened in some cases is that because he is not talked about, nor are his words quoted, he's very obscure. That people might think that he just had to be there and, you know, he wasn't a person of value. We know God does not make selections on that very base level. Saint Joseph's virtue, his humility, was paramount. That is why he was chosen. And he recognized Mary's holiness, and she recognized how God put him to safeguard her virtue, to safeguard her physically, to safeguard the Messiah. And so the holy bond that exists between Saint Joseph and Blessed Virgin Mary is something I don't think we can in this life truly realize.
So in relation to the here and now, I pulled an article because we want to know these exemplary qualities of St. Joseph brought forth and then held up so we can say, because there aren't enough modern day spotlighted fathers and saints of the church. And, but because I think they're so humble also, you know, they go about their day. They're not taking selfies and saying, look at me, I just worked a 12-hour day. They do what they need to do and they go on their way. It's interesting because I wanted to do a little bit of research about men. Now, young men, we know that they are in a crisis in some ways of identity. We can dig into the cultural layers, but we want to look also at the anthropology and the spiritual. So I did find a really good article from the National Review. It's actually fascinating, I think. And it's called The Anthropology of Manhood, which would make one think this is a very long article. And it is pretty lengthy, but it's an easy read. And I just wanted to drop in and pull some excerpts that I think can allow us to take it back to the men we know in our lives. And then going back to St. Joseph and what you were talking about, his beautiful, powerful example. It was written by Sebastian Younger, and this is what he says. I want you to weigh in on this too. He says, because of testosterone, this is specifically talking about references to the workforce, but it all comes around. He says, because of testosterone, men have, on average, about twice as much upper body strength as women. That has long made them capable of doing jobs that women may struggle with. Hydraulic power and internal combustion engine have obliterated those differences, however. A woman on a backhoe can move just as much earth as a man on a backhoe. Cultural hurdles remain, but at least the physical barriers of those jobs have been largely removed. As these gender-specific jobs disappear, it becomes harder for men to know whether they have anything essential to offer society. And I would add also relationships. I think there can be a danger of women in the house saying, there's nothing you can do in this house. This is my domain. And I know there are always exceptions to that. There are amazing men chefs, men who cook, men who do clean. You know, Jim is a better homemaker than I am in many cases. But I just mean the behavior that a woman might feel towards the husband. So if he's already struggling with that aspect of the challenge and the work level in the workforce, and at the home, it becomes more difficult. And he says, humans don't survive alone in nature. They die. And as a result, we are all hardwired to belong to groups, to community. But the only way to guarantee membership in a group is to be needed by it. So being unneeded can feel catastrophic. Other groups show how this can play out. The national suicide rate is known closely to track unemployment, for example, and after the economic collapse of 2008, around 5,000 additional people in 54 countries committed suicide because they had lost their jobs. These were people who no longer felt needed. A similar phenomenon can afflict retirees and military veterans, perhaps even men discharged from close-knit communities like firehouses or sports teams. Both the triumph and the tragedy of modern society is that we have eliminated almost every hardship and danger from daily life. For the most part, that's a great blessing, but it comes at a cost. The very efficiency of mass society makes people feel unnecessary, and therein lies a profound threat to our dignity. The poor are dehumanized by menial jobs and shoddy urban housing they often wind up in. The rich are dehumanized by the very privilege and luxury they use to insulate them from everyone else. The middle class is dehumanized by the cookie-cutter suburban homes they have mortgaged their futures for. The old are dehumanized by the speed and complexity of the mechanized world. The young are dehumanized by the wholesale substitution of social media and video games for real human experiences. And every last one of us is dehumanized by a society that uses algorithms and mass communication to feed us truths we prefer and the lies that we need. A new use for manhood may simply be to protect our precious human dignity at every possible turn. Very pro-life here. Yes. I like that. That's hard to define and happens in both large ways and small, but it is unmistakable when you see it. So all that I just read, if you stuck with me through that, is distilled down to this point. And it goes back to St. Joseph, and I think it's beautiful. The man who stopped the column of tanks at Tiananmen Square in 1989. The tank driver who refused to drive over him. The Latino worker who offered me a seat on the subway because I was holding an infant. The struggling business owner I reported on who quietly forsook a year's salary so he wouldn't have to fire anyone. So, chivalry.
Yes.
You talk about St. Joseph, and in talking to the relationship about Mary and Joseph, that she felt safe. He was the protector. He had the dream. He was going to protect her from being stoned. He had that power to save the life of Christ, to find them shelter, to flee and go into Egypt. So you think of chivalry. That's a beautiful thing.
It is beautiful, and it is a way, because he knew, because of being such a holy Jew, he knew the prophecies of the Messiah. And the same way when we see Our Lady of Perpetual Help, Jesus just running to her arms, I'm sure there was something like that with Joseph, only we won't see it. We won't see it depicted in any way. But Joseph also knew what was ahead, and he was doing everything by God's grace to protect Jesus while he lived.
One of the things that I shared, I think about a year, it was 2 years ago around Advent, and then Jim and I recently speaking at this marriage conference had an opportunity to share it again. But I think for each one of us women in our lives, whether it's a father, a brother, a spouse, a priest, to think of that St. Joseph moment and to praise God or to meditate upon that and to call it out, because like this article says, men need to feel needed. We all do.
Yes.
We all want to feel necessary. And I think the enemy is very good at always on that other shoulder telling us what we're not doing. And so lest we think that our spouses or the people in our life don't know that, they probably already do, but do they hear enough what they are doing right? And I remember going back to that story when Jim was working several jobs, leaving my radio career, retiring from all that I was doing has been difficult for us to juggle. But he would go out in Uber. He would then also be a maintenance man at the church, had been asked to clean, and especially during Advent when the church is busier. And so he would go in really early on Sundays. And he said, you just take the kids. We kind of had this set up where I would get everybody ready, get out the door, and he would kind of sneak in and join us for Mass. And so that was the case. And he had his kind of janitor gear on, smelled like bleach, snuck in the back. And of all the weeks, this was the week we were given the little paper asking our family to carry the gifts up. And Jim is not a vain guy. So he is, you know, normally fine with anything, but it was for him a moment of embarrassment. He said, I just go up without me. I can't, I'm not prepared. I'm not able to present. And we went up, all of us in our Sunday best, and Jim carrying the gifts to the altar. And I thought, what a beautiful example of St. Joseph and how he sacrifices and works and does it without any recognition from, he just does what he needs to do.
Yes.
And I think forever, I will cherish that moment. And it was such an unexpected gift. I mean, I don't know if Jim felt the same way, but in all humility, that's what Christmas was about. You know, just all that he had done and sacrificed and so that we could look our best. And here he was kind of pushing us forward in looking at the virtues of St. Joseph. There are so many that can continue to speak to us today of our men. And also us to try to be like Mary and to be encouraging and to ponder more and speak less.
When you do speak, it is with respect. And that just makes the relationship strong. It doesn't put stress on the relationship because there's so much outside stress that you bring home, no matter whether you have a full-time job or just, you know, at school, you know, with children, it's there. And so the loving respect in which you communicate is like a pat on the back. It gives, I respect you for who you are, not so much for what you do for me and for my family, but the person that you are.
And that goes back to the dignity.
Yes.
Point. I want to ask you if you'd be willing to just be very honest, because for the many years, 44 years, you were married, and you and Dad was not necessarily the general leading the pack and saying, we are going to church, you guys, get up and get out the door. And yet there was never or rarely a critical word from your tongue. And so maybe advice to women who struggle because they feel like their husbands aren't the leaders they want them to be. How did you ponder that, contemplate that, live that out, and continue to have such a faithful, supportive, Our Lady-like spirit?
It is as with all of us, God is the consummate teacher. I think early on, I just, you know, I wanted to push or I wanted to pull. And it early on found out neither of those work. And so it was just looking, seeking to be faithful in what I felt I needed to do personally, as far as having opportunities for meal prayer and just basic things at home, as well as going to church, going to the religious ed classes. And I think there were times where the, you know, the sky would open a little bit and there would be a hint of something that was much deeper. He knew scripture. He didn't talk about it. I knew it was there. And when Dad got really sick and...
And then, and when you see those glimpses, you just want to play it cool.
Yes.
Freak out. And
yes. It's like, aha.
I knew it.
Yes. And even when Dad got, you know, really sick. And I thought, okay, you know, I'm the experienced one. I'm the spiritual one. And probably when God shows us it's the time, you know, I will lead him in a specific, you know, sinner's prayer. I mean, I thought, okay, Lord, just show me. I was open. And how the Lord showed me all right. He really did. I was at a prayer meeting and I came home and Dad just simply said, he didn't say I'm good to go, but in some
he said, God, or I'm right with God.
Yes, he said, the Lord and I don't know if he said, I confessed all my sins. I am not sure the wording of it. Grace of peace washed over me, as well as he didn't need me. He didn't need me because he knew my prayers are always with him. Whatever he needed, whether it was to bear up under the pain, he knew that. That was a solid and a given. But God knew that I needed to hear where he was spiritually. And so Dad told me, and all I could do was just praise and give God thanks.
And that actually goes back to that Hebrews 11. That's how it starts. It's that scripture. Faith is confidence in what we hope and assurance about what we do not see. And darn it all, you know, men are so good at that. It's like that Titanic iceberg. You think there's something massive underneath the surface.
Yes.
I mean, maybe that's not the best example, but in a good way, that is, and I think it's a good reminder for us to not lose hope, to never give up, because you don't know how the Lord is working in ways we cannot see. Very often, me and you, and maybe more women than maybe that's more of the MO, is to be more vocal outward with our faith. And the heart is what matters, because Jesus talks about that all the time. And you make sure the outside of the dish is clean, but inside, and all the ways that I think we're humbled by that. And speaking of that, and going back to the St. Joseph quality, it was about a month ago, this wonderful event called Parents Rock, and it's Raising Our Catholic Kid. We had wonderful speakers come and talk to the parents, and that lit a fire under Jim. I think we just constantly need to be asking the Lord to show us. And he said on the way home, he said, you know, when's the last time I took the kids to confession and said, okay, guys, we're going to go do this? Because Bobby Bankovich, who I've had on the show and was one of our speakers, she talked about coupling it with a treat. Do something, have it be a date. Take your kids to a special mass or to adoration and then do something together after. So what we did the following week then, or a few weeks later, was adoration and ice cream. And you know, because you were here, initially it was going to be just the boys, but we went together. And I know our fit Catholic mom would be slapping her forehead and saying, don't tie in junk food to all these things. But by design, it just happened to work out. It's just the beer. But everyone loved it. Everyone loved it. And then the following week, we did Stations and Sonic. And the only reason saw this Sonic commercial for these hamburgers, and we're like, oh my goodness. And we said, why don't we do Stations of the Cross and Sonic? Now, again, I know it's not the healthiest, but you can modify it.
Yes.
To whatever you work. I was thinking the other day, wanting to see this new movie about the Apostle Paul, and maybe we could do Divine Mercy in a movie. Do the Divine Mercy Chaplet, or pray the rosary, go to a movie. And well, I guess, and speaking of movies, the new film I Can Only Imagine is now in theaters. It details the life of Bart Millard, the lead singer of Mercy Me, the writer of I Can Only Imagine, and his life story, the dysfunction, it's redemptive, though, the relationship in the end with his father in particular, that father wound. And one of our listeners saw the movie, left a review. Is it worth seeing in theaters? Take a listen to her review.
Hello, it's Christina. I just wanted to leave a quick message and let you know that I was blessed to see the new movie, I Can Only Imagine. It's about the lead singer of Mercy Me and his story and how he wrote the song, I Can Only Imagine, which is one of my favorite Christian songs anyway. It gets me right in the heart every time I hear it. So I went and I was really touched by the redemption of the story. His dad, the lead singer Bart, his dad was really abusive, and it hit really close to home with me because it's kind of similar to the upbringing that I had. But to see his forgiveness and how God worked in his dad and himself was just really good and amazing and uplifting. And the music was incredible. And so I highly recommend it. But I will say, please take some tissues because it is a tearjerker. God bless you. I hope that your Lent is going well. And anyone who's going to the Arise Retreat, I can't wait to see you. Okay, bye.
Okay, there you have it. So bring the tissues. That's the big tip. And I think in a lot of ways, that actually brings us back to the heart of what we're talking about, the real life struggle, the battle for the soul of every man, whether it's the movie, search for a father's approval, abuse, dysfunction, redemption, eventually peace, whether it's Saint Joseph endowed with this heavenly virtue, that we want to be reminded of the great nobility, as Father Nathan would say, that we've been called to and that men have been called to. So what I'd like to share is something that has become like somewhat of a battle cry, I think, for the men in my life and my family. I read it on the program a few years ago. And if you go back and search, I can't remember the episode number, but it's all about biblical chivalry. And I've since referenced it often. I think it should be in the halls of schools and seminaries and soldiers' barracks and sports stadiums. It's something that I know has attached to my husband's heart, and I hope my boys. And so I want to end with this thought. Every boy was created to become a hero warrior. Every man at some time in his life must face overwhelming odds and needs courage to act valiantly. When a man takes his stand as a believer to become all that God intended, he has begun an exciting adventure. For as sure as he relies on God's word and spirit to guide him, he will become a living reflection of our Lord in five areas: servant, warrior, prophet, priest, and king. As a servant, he will learn to obey God in small things. As a warrior, he will take his stand and fight for the great things. As a prophet, he will proclaim the true things of the word of God to those around him. And as a priest, he will focus on the precious things, interceding for others and pointing them to God. Finally, as a king, he will take dominion over the kingdom of his own heart, his own life, and his own home. He will wage war on three fronts, the spiritual, the social, and the cosmic, and he will win. Though he will lose many battles, he will not slink from the field, but through the dust, the blood, the tears, he will rise up again and again to quench the thirst within him, to taste conformity to his risen, victorious Lord. The enemy within, the enemy without, and the enemy above will all taste the steel of his sword and know they have met a man. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for sitting in the passenger seat today,
Thank
Mom.
Thank you for inviting me.
You had a great time. I'll see you. We'll maybe connect. Well, I know we'll connect at the Arise Retreat, but maybe have you on again. But we want to do some audio stuff. Are you excited about the retreat?
Yes, yes. Looking forward to it.
Gus is in the background. No, thank you for that chiming in. A special thank you also to our Podbean patrons, our GTR good friends. You are the gas in our tank. You are the fuel in our engine for making this thing go. So we are grateful for your faithful support to this humble program. If you would like to be a Podbean patron, it's super easy. There's no amount too small, no amount too large to give to the program monthly that helps with our expenses and to keep our program going and growing. Also, a big thanks to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio, for his dynamic skills and quick work and having a tan on top of that, just getting back from spring break in Cancun. And he is a producer extraordinaire. So for any audio needs you may have, check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. Ferdinand? Yes, we are. In the next few episodes, a special guest will join me to prepare us for Holy Week. Also, the Arise team is going to get together. We're going to get you ready for the upcoming retreat where 50 ladies from across the United States will be pilgrimaging to Loyola Retreat House for an unforgettable weekend. And I received something special in the mail from Father Ignatius Mazanowski. And you know what it is, don't you? You know what I'm talking about. Mom is nodding. And so we have something special from Father that will be given to the ladies at the retreat. That's just the beginning. So many wonderful, fun things coming up. God bless you. Saint Joseph, pray for us. And until next time, peace and love.